Free Talk Live, we are launching into hour number two of the program, and you can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Right back to our calls. That's what the show's about. So we'll talk to Frank in New York. Frank, you've just barely gotten the chance to get a point across, so I wanted to make sure you had time to expound upon
it. Let me do that now. It's interesting that if you look at religion as an anthropologist or sociologist would, you realize that a religion is a social construct created by man for the benefit of men and women, usually the elite. As Max Weber pointed out in the 19th
century. This is what government
is
true, by the way.
Oh, of course. But religion fits in with government. We know that historically religions existed before governments, and that religions were part of civilization and create the culture. But what's interesting, from the earliest known religions in ancient mystery Babylon, Mesopotamia, Samaria, prior to Judaism and prior to Christianity and Islam, these regimes were really regimes of social control, and they reached their zenith in ancient Egypt. What I want to say is this. Sexuality is natural. Even in the animal kingdom, we know that 15% of the animals exhibit homosexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say this, that people have a right to their sexuality. And, you know,
yeah.
I would say this, you know, there has to be a standard for age of consent. And if that's some states, that could be as low as 14. Other states, it's as high as 18. But the point is,
I think it should be the standard is when people believe they can consent individually.
No, I think the point is it's set under law, it's set under statute. That's why it is the age of sexual consent. In some civilizations and culture, people as young as 13 or 14 are engaged in sex or marriage and things. And that's a cultural thing. But my point of view is this. I'm not condoning that. I'm saying that we need a set standard for the age of sexual consent. And
what do you propose,
after that
Frank,
set up, we have to realize that everyone has the freedom to interpret religion, scripture, whatever, and make that choice.
But, Frank, what do you propose for those people that, for instance, I mean, you're going to come up with some arbitrary number that people should be able to have sex at. Let's say it's 14, like it was in Canada.
No, I'm not going to say that at all. I'm going to say that the age should be probably, you know, 18, because
you're
that's
gonna say
the
18.
Age.
All right, so what happens then? What would you have happen to the 18-year-old male that is tricked by a 16-year-old female into believing that she is in fact 18, has sex with her? What do you believe should happen to that young man?
Well, if she deliberately, you know, has a false ID and says that, he shouldn't be held accountable for that.
And what if she
the point is, you know, she chooses to do that, just as...
Okay,
with,
well, that's not the way things work today, so
no,
I'm glad that you support that change. That's a reasonable change.
You have to have the freedom, A, to interpret religion, and B, the freedom of choice to accept it or reject it without having, you know, prohibition set within your culture or, you know, being thrown out or ostracized or deemed a deviant or a criminal.
So,
and the point is, when there's emancipation for sexuality and the freedom of religion, and that includes areas in the Muslim world whereby everyone has to be Muslim or die or this or that or accept very stringent rules that are nothing more than you know, rules created by man, there has never been in any religion a connection with the divine. All religion, all scriptures, all religious texts are written by man or woman.
What do
there
you think
is
would
no
happen,
direct,
Frank?
We have no evidence the beauty of religion as a social construct and as a regime of repression and control.
Speaking of repression and
religion,
control, Frank,
yes.
Speaking of repression and control, what would happen in Frank's world to the 18-year-old male that actually knows his girlfriend is 16 years old and has sex with her anyways and somebody, you know, catches him at it? What do you think?
Then that person should suffer the, the requirements of the statute, and if that means
so,
being prosecuted
jail
for statutory rape, so be it.
Yeah,
but the point is, people
so just,
have
you're throwing
to have
people's lives away, no problem, some arbitrary number, screw them, who cares?
No, not arbitrary number. When
even if he loves his girlfriend,
18,
they both have a lot in
number.
Common. Yeah, so if they, his girlfriend,
the
they've got a great relationship.
It's adulthood in our culture.
Yeah. You're willing to put people in jail cells because they had a little bit of fun with one another? I think it's sick, Frank.
No. What I'm saying is this.
We don't have to do anything, you say.
Freedom, and we have to have a complete religious freedom, or the ability or the freedom to reject religion. And then I think we'll be a healthy culture and a healthy society.
But you're not advocating for sexual freedom, Frank. You're advocating for Frank's rules.
No, I am.
I am advocating for sexual freedom
for consenting adults.
Oh, right. See, you're the one who's determining what consenting adult means, and I say that when a young person...
No, I'm not. Our culture is determined that by the law of
No, that's not true. That's what a bunch of men calling themselves government determine. They're the ones that write the law, not the culture, as though there's any sort of overarching culture here in America.
If we had complete sexual freedom and complete religious freedom to accept or reject religion, we would have a new culture, a new form of government, and it would be a true renaissance and a new evolution for man.
That all sounds
woman.
Nice
and
until you come
really
in with your rules,
has
Frank.
To be done. I think we're seeing the perversions of a repressive regime of religion that's tied into theocratic, governmental, social construct that has evolved into the types of government and the abusive repressions that all governments seem to...
You're the one advocating... wait a minute, Frank. You say, on one hand, what you say sounds good. Sexual freedom, religious freedom, sounds good to me. Until
correct.
You all of a sudden bring in the repression aspect of putting people in jail cells for experimenting. I mean, that's
what
you're talking about.
The age of sexual consent should be determined by the culture. It should be a very democratic thing. So if people want to make it...
That's the problem,
18,
Frank,
fine.
Is forcing things on
it,
other people. Frank,
you know,
thank you for the call.
Fine.
Thank you, sir. 800-259-9231. That is the problem. The idea that somehow the majority of people can arbitrarily determine, based on the, you know, just abject force, to determine what two people should be able to do with one another. I think that individuals, when they are ready to be emancipated from their parents, whether it's at age 13, 15, 10, whatever age they believe it's appropriate, they should be able to emancipate themselves. If they want to go live on their own, outside of their parents' roof, without regard for the rules that their parents have, they should be able to make that free choice. Some of them will choose wrong, they'll come back and they'll, you know, try to make good with their parents and get back in so they can get taken care of again. And that should all be done on an individual basis. Society is not a factor here. Sex is a very individual thing, not society or a societal thing. I think it's sick what he's advocating.
I have to agree with Frank that I think that there has to be some kind of standard.
Now, I think you're sick, too.
I would disagree
pick a different number than
right.
Frank, right?
Well, no, I don't know that I would. I would pick probably, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 14, 16, 15, somewhere in there.
Okay.
But, you know, the idea that you would just have a number that drops, you know, immediately drops off.
I think it should be 33. How old are you? 37? 40
I think
should
the problem
be
with the scenario that you gave Frank was an 18-year-old having sex with his 16-year-old girlfriend was, well, essentially happened to me. I had a girlfriend who was a year and a half or 2 years or 2.5 years or something like that, younger than I. It must have been a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned 18. She was still 16. And I don't know what the laws were in the state that at the time, but, you know, that would have been the scenario. I had sex with a 16-year-old girl who, of course, we were both underage when we started, but at one point I turned the age of majority. So, you know, there needs to be some kind of sliding scale for the age of the person. But when you're talking about the clear-cut case of a 35-year-old, a 37-year-old, say, school teacher, getting the consent of his 9-year-old students to have sex with them, well, then you've got a real problem. Don't
then
you think
deal
that
with
person...
it in the marketplace by ostracizing that individual. The principal of the school is going to fire a teacher like that.
Oh, boy,
they're
fired.
They're going to lose their job, and they're going to be ostracized by society if, indeed, society has an objection to that sort of behavior.
Society does have an objection to that sort of
great.
Behavior. They handle it right now.
By putting the guy in a jail cell
yes,
over it?
By putting the guy in a jail cell over it.
And okay,
I'm sorry,
so,
I don't feel bad at all for some guy who's 37 years old who manages to get, a 9-year-old. It's the clear-cut cases that everybody agrees with, Ian, that make you look like a fringe lunatic.
Who's the victim there?
Who's the victim?
Yeah.
Those kids?
So you're their saying family, that people can that young people cannot consent to things.
I don't think I was victimized when I was 10 years old. I think
or is 10 your age? Are you going to say 10's the age now?
No, I think you had you were talking another young person. I think that it was a sick and weird scenario. Yeah, you were victimized.
Older than me.
Sure, you were
okay.
Victimized.
Okay. Yeah, so you want to have him pay me restitution? More coming up.
Nah.
This is Free Talk Live. Sicko.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
One of my favorite comments about the book, The Shack, comes from Tyler, who just graduated from Oregon State. And he says to Amy, my 20-year-old daughter, he says, Amy, this book is so far beyond your dad.
That didn't bug you?
No. I think he got to the heart of this whole miraculous thing. This is not something... I just wrote a story for my kids. I wrote a gift for them. So many things were unintended. So many things have risen out of that story that I wasn't thinking about. I wasn't thinking about writing a book about the Trinity or about the Holy Spirit or any of these things. And yet, here it comes. And here's God has done something so beautiful and so wonderful, so intricate. It's just a miracle just by itself.
For more information on the New York Times bestselling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks is the most talked about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it. Precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm David. And if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age. So get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-sinesterols than ordinary soft palmetto. So it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-204-6421. That's 1-800-204-6421. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-204-6421.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com. Or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark?
Again, the number is 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy them on us. And those features include the bulletin board system with over 375,000 posts for you to surf around through. Everything from serious issues to fun stuff. You'll find it all, and it's all free at bbs.freetalklive.com.
I've been taking a diet pill that helped me lose weight recently, and I've lost, I've 4 pounds, and I weighed myself, I guess it's been a few days now, and it's working for me. You can try it. It's DEXC20. You can also check it out at diet.freetalklive.com. It's available at GNC and Walgreens and CVS. It's both a appetite suppressant and a fat blocker. And I can tell you from, you know, the aspect of diet appetite suppression is that it works. It does make you eat less. DEXC20 doesn't have any of that weird jittery stuff that goes with most of the pills either.
All right, so we continue with Richard in California. Your calls. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a problem. You know, there's several important things coming up before the end of the year. One of them's the 9/11 anniversary, and I was just reading the findings that the government came up with as to why Building 7 fell, and I'm not sure I buy that. But what I called in to really talk to you about was the voting in the United States of America. And I wanted to tell you just a real quick little summary of voting in San Diego here. Voting is so corrupt here in town that I don't really think it's on the level. I'll give you an idea. We had a mayor's race a couple years ago, and it said you have to darken the oval box. And some people that voted for Donna Fry, she was running for mayor, just made an X across the box. And the registrar voters, so these are volunteer women, they were, you know, saying, well, we can't count that, putting them over here in this pile. But Judge Murphy was running. And the people that wrote put an X across his box and didn't darken it in, the registrar of our voters was actually caught filling in the darkened oval for him.
Hmm.
And Donna ends up getting more votes, but, you know, she loses the election just like the Democrats lost the presidency some time back. And it's just a nightmare down here. It's so corrupt. I can't even get into it with you. But
yeah, I understand.
Go ahead.
I can understand where you're coming from, and it's one of the reasons why I think the political system is such a futile effort, because even if you can successfully organize some sort of political effort or candidate or party or whatever, then you're still having to play by their rules that they set up to protect their system. And if they want to change those rules on you at any arbitrary time, they can do that, and then you have to jump through a whole bunch of other hoops. We've seen this where libertarian parties will qualify for access, and then the state will change the rules in order to disqualify them from ballot access. And then you've got examples like you're talking about where the voting system is found to be rife with fraud opportunities. Of course, I believe it was Stalin, to paraphrase him, that said it wasn't, or it's not.
It's not who votes it, but who counts
who
the votes.
Who counts the votes that counts. And, so, you know, we've seen fraud up here in New Hampshire. There have been fraud all over the place. Of course, the electronic systems are very questionable. And so, you know, even if you could successfully mount a political campaign, if it was threatening the status quo enough, it's certainly possible that somebody who's in charge could very well pull whatever levers need to be pulled to ensure that your candidate and your ideas don't get anywhere. And then,
yeah,
then it looks like... Go ahead, sir.
No, this is the problem. I just can't seem to... I've talked to the registrar of voters. It just seems like nobody... I said, well, how can you know? Can you guys give me some assurance or can guarantee to... Or show me how this works. And I work for the credit card machines, and I sell what's known as a Diebold ATM machine to banks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same machine that the Republicans have pushed. The same company builds the voting machine Diebold, which they said can be hacked in, like, you know, not a big deal to hack in electronically change things. But I want to tell you something I found the other day on the Internet, and this was done through Googling. A friend of mine is a gamer, you know. I don't know anything about games, and I just got a computer, and I'm not too up on what's going on.
Okay.
But he's a gamer, and he told me that there was a guy by the... Have you ever heard of the name of Tony Kovarik?
No, I've not, no.
Well, anyway, he told me the name, and I said, well, how do you spell that? So he gave me the spelling, and the first name was Tony, T-O-N-Y. The second name was Kovarik, K-R-V-A-R-I-C. And he said, look up a company called Fairlight, because this guy is pretty fantastic at gaming. Well, I put Tony Kovarik Fairlight into Google, and I clicked on it, and I got to this place that's called the raw story. Mm-hmm. And it was just a few months old, and I clicked on that story. I'm doing it right now. I'm bringing it up. I want to read you the first paragraph of this. This is really scary. And, again, I'm calling from San Diego. Okay, here's the story. I'm going to read it to you, just the first paragraph.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
San Diego GOP chairman co-founded International Piracy Ring. Any job applicant knows that background checks are routine, especially for jobs involving authority or oversight of money. So why didn't the San Diego Republican Party do a simple Google search before naming Tony Kovarik as its chairman? Online research reveals that Kovarik is the co-founder of Fairlight, a band of software crackers which later evolved into an international video and software piracy group that law enforcement authorities say is among the world's largest such crime rings. After co-founding,
oh, that's not real crime. Come on, that's not real crime. It's just some kids playing with computers.
Well, this guy, the story goes on, and it talks that this guy has made billions of dollars cracking all of the video games on the market.
How could he have made billions of dollars at that? I don't understand.
Well, he takes the game when it first comes out, he cracks the code, and they sell them on the black market.
That seems very unlikely.
Have you ever seen a black market game for sale?
Yeah, where have you seen this?
Well, I don't play games, so I wouldn't.
I have never seen one either.
Let me explain this. Basically, I don't know where. Maybe they do it in China or something like that. I don't know. But generally, the black market in gaming is totally 100% free. What these people do is they go. It's a challenge to them to crack into these games, to reverse engineer them effectively, and to put out a cracked version of this particular product on the internet. Now, it is illegal or whatever, but what it does is it gets the gives gamers the ability to play the games in advance to see if they actually like the games, and then they can go out and purchase them on their own. So if anything, I think that this guy may have actually contributed to a few games being sold, and he certainly hasn't been lining his pockets. Now, I mean, I'm against what he's doing because he's a political activist. I don't support that. I'm pretty much anti-politics, so I don't agree with him there. But as far as cracking a game and putting it out on the internet, nobody's charging for those. And if anybody pays for cracked software, they're a damn fool. Thank you for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. At 800-259-9231, that is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And then we come back around into the intellectual property discussion. You know, the idea that should this man be punished for having a ring of people on the internet that makes it their hobby to crack software and release it free to the world? That's what these folks do. Should they be punished for that? Who's the victim?
Well, you know, when you look at it, the big games out there, a lot of games that they sell for PS3 and Wii and that kind of thing require a lot of, they do a lot of they have a lot of programmers involved. There's quite a team, you know.
It's a lot harder to crack PS3 and Wii. You have to actually go into the system usually. You have to pull the top off, go into the guts. You have to get a mod chip. You have to install
I'm
that.
I'm just talking about intellectual property.
But PC cracks are easy. You just download the program. It's a cracked version, or you apply certain software to it, and you open it up.
But when you're talking about, you know, cracking those things, obviously the consoles, they have there's some stopgaps placed in there just by the nature of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a lot of good free games on the internet, so it makes you wonder, would people just make games for free?
You mean like the Risk game that you play?
I do play. That one wasn't free. I actually paid $20 for it, and I've got, I feel like I've definitely got my money out of it.
All right, more on the way here. We can continue this discussion. Also tell you what's going on with the income tax repeal effort in Massachusetts. The latest there, all coming up on Free Talk Live.
Every week, thousands of violent crimes are committed. Don't let yourself become a statistic. Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com has great news for outdoor enthusiasts. Now you can protect yourself against possible animal attacks with safe, humane animal repellents, featuring counter-assault bear deterrent and Mace brand animal repellent. Enter radio in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Imagine if I'd come to you a couple of years ago and said to you, hey, gasoline prices are going to jump to $5 a gallon, and I know a way that we can store several hundred gallons for you, a year or two's supply of gasoline, buy it today at $2 a gallon, and when it goes to $5 a gallon, you'll be way ahead of the game. And you probably at the time would have said to me, you're nuts, get away, you're crazy, lunatic, go bye-bye, and okay, fine. Now I'm telling you, what's happened to gasoline is happening to food. Your grocery bill is going to skyrocket. And you can put bulk foods away at less than half the price of your regular grocery bill. And by tomorrow's standards, that could be at less than a fourth of the price, or an eighth of the price, or a sixteenth of the price. Hello, or do you have an investor's brain or not? Pay attention. Storable foods, bulk foods, from the J. Michael Stevens Company. EatFoodsDirect.com. Go there now, EatFoodsDirect.com. Get a year or two's worth of bulk foods while they still are available, and they won't be much longer. Or call them at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2981, 800-498-2981, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2981, 800-498-2981.
Provider and licensing details are available.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free. Updates, you get signed up, and we'll let you know whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Go to updates.freetalklive.com to get on the list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com. And if you've got trouble with your accounts receivables, you should get in touch with our friends at Sickle CAI. They've got a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. Sickle knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you, so their staff is respectful, and they record every call and have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. Again, that's Sickle, C-A-I. Briefly here, before we get back to the calls, we had just now kind of gotten back onto the intellectual property discussion, this time talking about video games. The last caller had suggested that there was this guy making billions, allegedly, or leading a billion-dollar software piracy ring, which maybe I'm not totally aware, and it's certainly possible I'm not. I can't know everything that goes on out there on the Internet, but from my experience in the realm of video gaming and understanding at least part of the pirate world or the cracking world, it is my understanding that these guys do it for fun. It's their hobby to reverse engineer these video games, and then they release them online, and in many cases they actually release a file along with the game, sort of identifying who they are and what their purpose is. And in many cases, they say, if you enjoy this game, please purchase it. So even the crackers are actually advocating that those people who are downloading their products that they're distributing go and purchase the original product if it's something that they like. I think that these kind of things that are going on that are so-called illegal, it happens with video games and movies and music, and of course the industry associations will tell you, we're losing billions and it's going to destroy our business. But yet the movies keep coming out and the games keep coming out and it doesn't seem to really be doing anything, because I think that good games will be paid for. People are willing to pay for good movies, good music, and good entertainment, good video games. They're willing to pay for them. I know that people have. I know people who have tried these games and then gone ahead and purchased them. Now, does that mean there aren't people out there that just try the games, keep them, and never pay a dime? Of course those people are out there. But those people may not have gone and purchased the game in the first place anyway, because it may not have interested them enough, or they're too, just didn't have enough money, or whatever their reasons were. There's no guarantee that that individual that's keeping the software and not paying for it would have bought it anyway.
And when you start looking at periphery aspects of it, in the sense that somebody can try a game for free and then never pay for it, but they tell somebody, that's an awesome game.
Yeah. That's worth a whole lot of money. That's advertising you can't buy.
And, you know, that in and of itself is valuable. I don't know how these things would turn out, and I wouldn't propose that it's okay that if someone's sharing online, and that's essentially what happens with these things, I don't think anybody should be put in jail for that or gone after or anything like that.
Right. The internet is kind of like a big version of loaning a tape to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, you'd get an LP, you'd dub it to tape, and then you could loan it to your buddy, right?
Or you could make a tape for your buddy, too. Which was a violation of intellectual property laws at that time.
Right, but what's the difference? I mean, really, is there a significant difference? For instance, right now, Mark, I've got a book full of CDs. Kind of old technology, I know, but I still have one of those little leaf, those books where you can just slide them into the little slots, and that way you don't have to store all the old jewel cases. But they're just sitting there. They're not doing anything for me. They're just taking up a bunch of space. So I could loan you one of my CDs, you could use and enjoy that CD, and that would be
really
legal.
Unlikely.
That would be legal. Okay, but let's say I had something you wanted to listen to.
Really unlikely.
But that would be legal by my understanding of the law, because
right.
I don't have it anymore, right? It's
you
now
own,
in your
you
possession.
Own that CD, and therefore you can loan it. But if you were to copy that CD on, say, another CD with the technology that we currently have with CD writers...
Then it's criminal.
Which and that
is
stupid.
It's so silly, because either way, you're still getting the same benefit. You are still getting to listen to that music... for free. You did not pay for that copy of that disc at all. So either way, you're still getting to experience the all that hard work of the artist and their record company and the designers.
Well, if the record company had its way and managed to work even further into
on that,
they would have said, no, you cannot.
You can
never sell your DVD.
You can never lend it.
Once you buy it, it is yours and yours only.
Oh, yeah. And if you have any friends over to watch the movie that you just got, you have to let us know so we can collect some money from you for it, right? That would be, you're right. If they could get away with something like that, they absolutely would. And so the internet is just sort of an expansion
of that. They would, however, destroy their business
sure.
models.
And that's what some of them are doing. They're sort of eating themselves alive.
Currently.
So the internet is just a wide-scale expansion of the ability to be able to loan ideas to other people. The wonderful part about the digital realm is that you don't have the generation effect. When you played that LP back and you recorded it to tape... you've got analog going to analog. The signal degenerates over each progressive pass.
As though on an LP it was ever any good anyway. With all that,
some people say it's
pop.
Some people say LPs are
awful.
Better.
Those people
like
crazy.
The sound better.
Vinyl. I'm so glad vinyl's gone.
Yeah, but there was this generation effect that caused a problem. So you can only dub those tapes so many times. Now you can do it over and over again. They can be copied into infinity. And so things have significantly changed. And these companies, they just haven't quite yet figured out how to deal with it, though there are some innovators out there. There are some people pushing the envelope, sort of on the leading edge of distribution and profiting from internet distribution channels. It's all going to change, much to these companies' chagrin. And one thing's for sure, people are not going to stop pirating movies, music, and games just because somebody gets thrown in a jail cell here and there for it. It's just not going to happen. Just like people haven't stopped smoking marijuana because 1.5 million drug users and over 800,000 of them marijuana smokers were put in jail last year hasn't stopped people from smoking pot. You're not going to stop so-called piracy. So either get with the program and figure out how to monetize this phenomenon of people willing to pass your ideas around and share them with other people. You figure out how to monetize that, or you die. That's your choice. Let's go to your calls and talk to Steve in Toronto. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, Ian. I have a question, I guess, specifically towards you, because more than Mark, you seem to advocate no laws at all on intellectual property.
Yes.
And so my first part of this question is, do you, I know that you advocate no laws at all, but if that were the case, would you personally feel morally justified downloading all of your music and movies without paying for it?
Would I feel morally justified? No, I feel as though people that work hard and that produce a product that I enjoy should be rewarded for that product. And that's one of the reasons why, while I download Penn & Teller's BS, I'll admit to it fully right here on the air. I've done it before. I download Penn & Teller's BS, the television show, because I don't want to buy cable, and I certainly don't want to buy, you know, I don't have time for those channels. I don't have any interest in buying that product. But I do have an interest in buying Penn & Teller's BS. And so when it comes out on DVD months and months later, I go ahead and purchase it. And then it just sits on my shelf, and I don't really do anything with it. Luckily, Julia lends it out to a bunch of people, which I think is great, because I think Penn & Teller's BS is.
And you don't know Ian personally to know that when he says things that they're generally true. Ian's a very honest individual, but I'll tell you, that's exactly the truth. He has all the seasons.
No, I don't doubt it at all.
I'm just letting you know.
Thank you. So I think the one of the concerns there is that Ian, what you do, it represents a minority of the people that download movies and music.
That's a concern.
It is a concern.
I don't know
if
it's true, but it's a concern.
Would I like it, for instance, if all of our podcast downloaders became amplifiers tomorrow? Hell yeah, I would like that. But am I going to get all indignant about it when they don't? Because, no, I'm not going to do that, because I understand that people have different situations. Some of them may not like the they may like the show enough to listen to it, but not quite enough to support it. That's their business. It's their decision. I don't think it's immoral, particularly, of them to do that. They have various different reasons for what they like and why they support what they like, and it's none of my damn business. So I put my product out there, and people reward me based on commensurate to what they think the value is.
Fair enough. The second part of my question is, I guess, deals with liberty in general and how it relates to intellectual property as well.
Let's get to that in a moment. Hang on.
Sure.
I'll bring you back for more, Steve. More coming up with Steve in Toronto and your calls as well at 800-259-9231. Also, what's going on with the effort in Massachusetts to repeal the income tax? We'll let you know the latest there.
And Massachusetts income tax.
Yes. Yes, exactly. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule has been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex C20 in the gold box today. Start losing weight the easy way. Dex C20.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea. And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928 928- 928-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Nonex Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Nonex Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nonex Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Long's, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Bylo, and Rite Aid.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features are free on that site. Those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their websites. Ours is probably has more stuff than theirs does, and it's free. So if you like that and you want to help support the show, then become an amplifier. You can join for $3 a month, and it's sort of back to what we were talking about before. We put the show out there. It's free. You take. You like. You enjoy. Maybe pony up $3 a month, and that's like half the price those other guys are charging for their websites for. You get perks like access to the AmpOnly call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. So there's some things there to sweeten the deal, but the main reason is to help Free Talk Live out, because the money comes in and goes right back out into being reinvested into the program to get on more radio stations, right, to bring more internet
listeners. The amplifier money is our advertising budget, period.
Yeah. Yep, so if you want to help us out, it's really resulting in more radio stations coming on board, which means more new people discovering the message that you enjoy so much, so that's a good thing. Head over to amp.freetalklive.com, learn about how some of the money's being spent, and get signed up with any major credit card, PayPal, or some alternative options. Again, amp.freetalklive.com. As we continue with Steve in Toronto with questions in regards to intellectual property and freedom in general. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, sir. Well, the second part of my question deals with a little bit of history, and I might have my history wrong, and if I do, please, I encourage you to interrupt and correct me. But the way I understand things, people today are, not everyone obviously, but many people are scared of liberty. They're scared of what society would be like without police, without law, without government roads and that kind of thing. And the thing you can always tell these people is, well, it's never been tried, and logically it should work. And in cases where there's less government restriction, it does work. Historically and statistically.
Sure.
The concern I have is when we get into the realm of intellectual property, where we can say, well, it's never been tried before to have no restrictions on intellectual property, but as I understand it, there was a time when there were no restrictions on intellectual property, and that was the entire history of the world up until a couple of hundred years ago.
I think you're pretty much true. Yeah.
And in that time, I think there's a correlation between when intellectual property law and copyright law came into play and when innovation started to skyrocket and boom.
And
my fear is that if you erase
The skeptics would call that correlation, not causation.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm not going to make any arguments. That's Ian's problem with his crazy stuff. But
right, presuming what you're saying is the case. I think it just basically what happened was there were individuals who had sway over the government people that wanted to protect their profits essentially from competition and were able to get that to happen. I think what you should do is take a look at different industries and compare the levels of intellectual property capability, for lack of a better term, in that, for instance, in areas like movies, there's heavy intellectual property involvement, but in areas like clothing, which, a lot of people borrow a lot of ideas in the realm of clothing, there's virtually no intellectual property protections beyond brand name for clothing.
Right. So, for instance, you can make sunglasses that look exactly like Oakley's, but it's only when you put that O, which people do, put that O on the side that you have violated the law.
Yes, I understand that fully. Even if I look at present day, and you look at other countries, maybe this is a bad example because there's other restrictions in these other countries that might lead to a lack of innovation, but a lot of countries that don't have any protection on intellectual property are the same countries from which there comes very little new innovation in technology and medicine and things of that nature.
I don't know enough about macroeconomics to really be able to counter that or say anything to it, because I think there are a lot of developments going on around the world that we all can't possibly be aware of to say that one country is necessarily better at others. I don't know. China, we did talk about China recently, which is certainly a place where there are very, very little intellectual property protections.
Right.
And we have talked about in the past that in China, the quality of the products coming from China has drastically increased over the last few decades, to the point where they are now really churning out some good quality stuff over there, and there's still very, very little intellectual property protection.
Okay, if that's the case, either way,
none of your points really justifies aggressing against one's neighbor. That's really the long and short of this issue.
You're right. These are just reservations and concerns I have. I'm not out there saying yes, we definitely 100% need intellectual property and copyright law. I would used to be like that, I guess, but. The more I think about liberty and not hurting one's neighbor, the less I am in favor of these protections. At the same time, I do have concerns that if we eradicated them all, we may revisit a time when there's just no innovation and new developments in medicine, but perhaps a lot less.
I think it's frankly absurd, because if you look at individual cases, there was a story that we talked about with the new grilling technology, which isn't really so new. It was like infrared, I think, basically grilling technology instead of coals or instead of gas. They have this infrared sort of grill. I don't know all the details.
I don't remember the story at all. Okay.
We did talk about, maybe you weren't here that week, I don't know, but we did talk about this story where there's this company that's been sitting on a patent for this wonderful technology for years, and maybe they've been making a boatload of money off of it, selling their $2,500 or $5,000 grills that implement this, because they're the only one allowed in the marketplace to do these things, where these other companies could very easily have gotten into that game and brought prices down for consumers. So essentially all this really does is it protects the one company at the cost of everybody else who could benefit from these new technologies. And to say that there aren't people out there that would be willing to be more competitive is, I think, ignorant of how the marketplace really works.
Well, not necessarily. To use that exact example, if that first company that developed this and created this patent didn't have these protections, is there not some risk that they may have never said in the first place, let's develop this technology because there's no money to be made in it if anybody can take our idea.
Right. So his concern is exactly the same as mine, which is R&D.
And it comes back around to my other answer before about how you just aren't – you're not having enough vision for what the marketplace can do and how it would respond to having a different set of incentives where you could simply have idea manufacturers who come out with ideas based on – and they attract new people to them based on their ideas and how their reputation in the marketplace. And these companies would essentially create the ideas, and other companies could take them at will and manufacture them. I mean, so
sure. And I'm fairly confident that this kind of thing would happen, or perhaps something that the three of us can't even think of. You can't predict what the
Here's another example for you. Look at open source software. This is a great example, and I don't bring it up often enough because I just am not too familiar with it, but I had somebody email me about it as a perfect example of how the marketplace is, even though there are competitive businesses out there, Microsoft and Apple, that are corporate sort of entities creating software and selling them in the marketplace, they're sold alongside this free stuff called Linux, which has gotten demonstrably better over the last decade or so, and it's something that people actually contribute on their own volition to simply because they want to. There's very few people that are modifying the open source code out there that are actually making a living off of this, but yet they do it anyway. Or look at Wikipedia, this vast resource that has been contributed by people just because they wanted to, because they knew that the world would be a better place as a result of their knowledge being added to the whole.
There's
examples out there. People taking initiative.
There are definitely some people like that, a lot of people like that, I would even admit. But I think a lot of people are also driven by profit. And if you take that incentive away, there's a risk. I would add that if this was the case...
There's always risk. Are you a businessman?
Yes.
Okay, well, then you understand that that's what it's all about.
I'm willing to take that risk, but I'm just trying to fully assess it a little better.
Right. It's easy for people that don't know business. The risk must seem scarier to them because if you're not used to taking risks, then risks can seem But if you've taken risks before, then it's no big deal to keep taking risks.
Right.
And that's what business is about. You take a risk in hopes that you get a return on your investment and that you can profit in the end. But it doesn't always work out.
Right. Well, and what enhances this particular risk is the fact that for all of these ideas and premonitions we might have of how things might work in the marketplace, the world had an eternity to do them, and prior to 200 years ago, they never really did it.
Well, there wasn't prior to 200 years ago, there just wasn't the technology, there wasn't the advancement, and to suggest that it's because there's a gang of people calling themselves government out there standing around with all their lawyers, somehow that is what has spurred human progress? The government is a parasite, and it makes it more difficult to do things.
It makes it more difficult
to get in to the realm of business, and it makes it more difficult to compete. So we are in a restricted marketplace, and we've been in a restricted marketplace for the last few years, and I know people are on the line to comment. Come up.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN program. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
It's a fact.